Welcome to the Business Facilities Podcast, where we're focused on discussing strategies to help business owners, corporate site selectors, and site selection consultants make the best location decisions for companies across a range of industries. I'm your host, Ann Cosgrove, the Editorial Director of Business Facilities. At the most recent Business Facilities Live Exchange event, which took place October 4th through 6th, 2023 in Columbus, Ohio, I had the opportunity to sit down with several of our event attendees for one-on-one conversations, focusing on an aspect of their work in site selection. One of these conversations is presented to you now in this podcast. We hope you enjoy. Today, I'm with Sabrina Champagne. She is president of State Tax Credits for Oncentive, and we will be talking a bit about tax credits and incentives today and get Sabrina's insights. So welcome, Sabrina.
Thank you, Anne. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. So can you please describe your work briefly with Oncentive, maybe the services that you and your team provide to the community?
Absolutely. So we have a practice that consists of both federal and state tax credit experts. I personally have been in the industry for almost 19 years, and we have multiple leaders who have at least 15 years experience each themselves. So with our expertise, we're able to assist our clients in identifying federal, state, and local tax credit opportunities based on their growth strategies, hiring trends, and capital investment throughout the United States.
Wonderful. Thank you. So, and also just to add on that for a moment, what are the industries that you do work with? Is it a broad scope?
It's all industries for profit around the country. Okay. Again, because we're working with credits and incentives, we focus on for profit organizations. But we do have additional services under the umbrella of our HR Logics team that assist with other areas like I-9 compliance, ACA compliance, and unemployment tracking to reduce the unemployment tax rate.
Okay, thank you. So the first question I have for you is, when it comes to tax credits or incentives, what is a common misconception or maybe a blind spot that you encounter when starting out to work with your clients?
Great question. So in the industry, a lot of business owners at that small, medium business size level believe that their CPAs or their accountants are managing the tax credits on their behalf. Typically what happens is the CPAs are worried about their retrospective audit worthiness and compliance from a filing perspective. And where we fit in is the proactive, prospective view, managing the current day-to-day relationships to ensure that these credits are not missed. There are some programs with deadlines where unless a form and an application has been filed on the front end, then it's too late to go back retrospectively. So that's why we do like to partner with CPA firms. We reach out and help staffing companies, PEOs, various types of structured companies to assist them with these different credits that they may not be aware of, or they might have heard something in passing and just believe that their CPA or somebody in-house is managing. But typically what we've found out is that's a very big misconception, and these programs are not being utilized. And so there's lost revenue that the companies really can gain from with our service and assistance.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you. So can you talk about a project of yours, whether in recently or maybe not so recently in past years, that highlights the potential or the impact of a tax credit or incentive where it's really made a difference in getting that project done, getting it done successfully? What kind of like a lessons learned? Sticks out for you as a, you know, maybe a recent project or not so recent, like I said?
Literally a flood of different projects come to mind. Some of the most recent ones incorporate an R&D element. So right now we're seeing a lot of emerging markets, greater utilization of artificial intelligence, a greater focus on environmental and social governance. And so what we like to do is assist with the various programs to support our clients in really leveraging those cultural initiatives that they might have from an HR perspective, but utilize the financial options available from a tax credit perspective. So when we're looking at R&D, we're looking at new technology, capital investment, a higher wage for those jobs that are going to be maintaining that facility. We're looking at any kind of change in technology and improvement. a way to utilize AI to continually improve the process or the output or reduction of waste mm-hmm. associated with that project. And then working to make sure that we're bringing in the proper, whether it's the energy companies or the proper local and state representatives to stack on those benefits so that we're utilizing the federal credits, then adding in the layer of the state credits, and then any kind of additional incentives that might be in the discretionary funding to offset the total scope of that project, not only from the beginning of groundbreaking, but that long-term sustainability for the long-term success of that program. We like to ensure that in our world, everybody wins, that the local economic developers are going to see an impact in their community that benefits their residents, and our clients, or as the employer, they're going to benefit by being more profitable with a project, and then making sure that these employees are upskilled and expanding their skill set for long-term success at the community level. And utilizing these different mixes of credits can help really foster a very successful project that without one of those elements increases the likelihood of failure. So we really try to reduce that potential for failure mm-hmm. by looking at the entire scope of eligible credits that a client can use.
Okay, thank you. So I want to get a little more, ask you to be, give me a specific example maybe of a tax credit or incentive that has helped, that helped to bring a project over the finish line, or maybe as you just mentioned, if maybe not bundling it, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but if you're not, you know, bundling it or stacking it correctly, you're losing out on some potential. So is there an incentive or tax credit that you remember, you know, this really made a difference, this made things click and, you know, put it all together?
It wasn't one specific credit,
okay.
But it was the ability to meet with the economic developers on a project where we were consolidating a headquarters facility and a distribution center in a specific region. And there was a legacy enterprise zone agreement for a distribution facility, and the company wasn't sure if they were going to build a headquarters and keep the distribution center separate. We were considering consolidating, and working with the state and local representatives, we were able to sign a new agreement in a new enterprise zone to consolidate this project and make it very lucrative for the employer to create a massive number of jobs, greater training available, including a discretionary fund that was provided by the state. There were some training grants involved, and then the statutory credits available, some sales tax abatement that really helped ensure that this company didn't have to leave the region where they were currently located, because that was another consideration as well. But the ability to really get creative and implement a holistic program, like I said, with the training grants as well mm-hmm. as the enterprise zone programs, those were really a game changer in that project.
Okay, so then a last question as far as, you know, what incentive can do to help companies, and as you said, you work with a broad, you know, with a broad for-profit client base. When do you get in? It probably varies, but is it on the ground floor? When do you recommend these folks reach out to you?
As soon as possible.
Okay. Okay.
We typically will have monthly meetings with okay. our clients, and we engage multiple elements of their organization. So typically, at a table, we'll have a representative from procurement, from tax or finance, from HR, and many of these people have never even met each other, even though they may have been working for the same organization for years. So it creates this different synergy that the organization itself didn't even know that they had. Mm-hmm. And to make everybody aware of how it's easy for us to get caught up in our day-to-day and our role and what we're doing, but the larger impact that every single individual has on an organization, to bring them in. But it's really important to have the beginning of the conversations with all these individuals, mm-hmm. Like you said, at the very beginning, because if you're thinking a year down the road, there's a long process and a lot of different vetting that will take place between now and then, mm-hmm. and to ensure that we're not missing a step or that an application hasn't been missed. there's a lot of documentation and compliance that needs to be planned out, a calendar of deadlines scoped out, a mutual agreement of responsibilities. All of that needs to be taking place on a consistent basis. And so that's really what our organization provides. Again, from that federal, state, and local level, as well as working for any kind of a negotiated discretionary funding opportunity.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. Thank you for your time, Sabrina. I appreciate it.
A pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. For information about participating in Business Facilities Live Exchange events as a site selection attendee or as a sponsor, visit bfliveexchange.com. The 20th annual Business Facilities Live Exchange will take place in spring 2024 in Richmond, Virginia. The event will be held at the Omni Richmond Hotel from March 17 through 19, 2024. And stay tuned for the next episode of the Business Facilities Podcast.